Let's take our Bibles and go to 2 Thessalonians. We are now at the ninth epistle written to the church of God, written to all of us, and we'll have the privilege of reading the end of this section of Scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapters 1, 2, and 3. When the first epistle was sent to the Thessalonians, it contained wonderful encouragement, wonderful exhortation for them to continue to believe God and to continue to manifest the love of God. And after that first epistle was received, word was sent back to Paul and Silas and Timothy that the believers there had done just that, that their believing was growing exceedingly, that their love was increasing. Once again, an indication of the Thessalonians being an exemplary church, a model church to other believers in the first century and also to us as we read about it 20 centuries later. And this second epistle is written to continue to encourage the believers and also to give further information about the hope. 2 Thessalonians gives more detailed information about events of Christ's second coming, things that information that includes events after the gathering together of the church, as we will see. So we get to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 1, it says, Paul and Silvanus, or Silas, and Timotheus, Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, as the pattern is of the church epistles, once again, 2 Thessalonians starts with grace. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound, we are obliged, we are obligated to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, as it is adequate, as it's right, because that your believing grows exceedingly, and the agape, the love of God, of every one of you all toward each other abounds. Look at that. They were so thankful to God for these believers at Thessalonica because their believing growed exceedingly and their love abounded. They were exemplary and they were growing. They were abounding in believing and love, as all of us as believers should do. We should all see our believing grow. We should all see our love abound. So that we ourselves, verse 4, glory in you, or boast in you in the churches of God, for your patience and believing in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. The believers at Thessalonica were exemplary. They were examples, a model church to other believers, but it wasn't because they had it so easy. They, you know, faced great persecution and tribulation or mental pressure, but they endured it patiently. They continued to grow in their believing. They continued to abound in their love in spite of the circumstances. You know, when you read truths like this, it's a good reminder that we are to be word conditioned, not circumstance controlled. You know, we are in a ungodly, present evil world. There are persecutions. There are mental pressures that every born-again one will face. But here's an example of people who patiently endured in the midst of those trying difficulties. And then it says in verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Now, this particular section of Scripture deals with the justice of God, or the righteous judgment of God. You know, God is a God of decency and order. He sets up the laws of life. He sets up an orderly life. And part of God's design is that there is justice. When things aren't right, well, then there's consequence or a price to pay. You know, if someone does wrong, then God's justice is to right the wrong, and that people being responsible for what they've done are going to pay a price. And this becomes very clear, particularly with the events of Christ's second coming. Here it says, in verse 5 again, it's a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. You know, our God is so wonderful that he fights our battles for us. We don't have to recompense evil for evil, but we know that God will make things right, that God will recompense righteous judgment. God will recompense tribulation to them that trouble us. You know, and there's a certain satisfaction, there's a certain fulfillment that comes from knowing this, that God's going to take care of things in the end. Verse 7 then goes on to say, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. Now, verses 6 and 7 need to be understood together, that God is going to recompense, or God is going to repay tribulation to them that trouble us. You know, the people that were troubling, that were persecuting, that were afflicting, that were causing the believers at Thessalonica to suffer, well, God is going to recompense tribulation to them. And then verse 7 goes on to say that God is going to recompense to us rest. That's the construction of this is kind of choppy in the King James, but a wonderful translation of verse 7 is, to you who are afflicted along with us at this time. In other words, the believers at Thessalonica were being afflicted, just like Paul and Silas and Timothy were. To you who are afflicted along with us, God will repay rest at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with his mighty angels. So there's two types of repayment that are talked about in verses 6 and 7. To those who are persecuting the church, to those who are causing the church to suffer, well, God is going to repay tribulation to them. Now, to those of us that are believers, those of us who are standing for God, what's God going to repay to us? He's going to repay rest at the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ from heaven with his mighty angels at the gathering together. So what do we have to look forward to? Rest. I'm looking forward to that. What do the unbelievers have to look forward to? tribulation. But you can see in this God's justice, that God is just, and he's also a justifier of them that believe in Jesus. Now, verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the next administration, the sixth biblical administration, everything's going to be made right. It's called the times of restitution of all things. Everything will be returned to its rightful owner. And part of that restitution, of that making things right, is that God will take vengeance on them that don't know him and that don't believe the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. Everything's going to be made right. Everything's going to be put in its proper order and sequence, where now everything seems so kiddy-wampus. God rejectors prospering, God rejectors having power and authority in this world. So many things that are just contrary to our Father's will. Well, in the next administration, everything's going to be made right. So when the church is at rest, then the Lord Jesus Christ, in flaming fire, will take vengeance on them that know not God and that don't obey the gospel concerning him. Verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. This everlasting destruction refers to all of them perishing. The unbelievers will perish. They will, they're going to be destroyed because they haven't believed concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. So they shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And then the verse 10 in the King James starts with the word when, but it's better translated, more accurately translated, after. So verse 10 reads, after he shall have come to be glorified in his saints. And what's that referring to? The gathering together. You know, after the gathering together, then will come this time of judgments, the day of vengeance of our God, when everything will be made right and the unbelievers throughout all time will be dealt with. So after he shall have come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Because we have believed the word of God concerning Jesus Christ, we will be at rest during this time of judgment. We will have been gathered together. All things will have been made right for the church. 2 Thessalonians gives quite a bit more information about the events after the gathering together, where 1 Thessalonians gave that incredible detail of the gathering together. So it says, after he shall have come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So after the gathering together, then comes this time where God will repay tribulation to them that believe not. Wherefore also, verse 11, we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of believing with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, what loving encouragement from our Father for believers to continue to stand, for believers to continue to walk worthy of the calling, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in us, and us in him. according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're currently living in the age of grace, praise God, but there's coming a day when the gathering together happens, that after that, things will be made right, the day of vengeance of our God, and all things will be brought to Christ. All things will be returned to our Father by the work of his dear Son.